We'll go ahead and call the Committee on Judiciary to order. Lisa, please call the roll to get us started.
Chair Yarbrough?
Here.
Vice Chair Burton?
Here.
Senator Berman?
Here.
Senator DeSigley?
Here.
Senator Gates?
Here.
Senator Hooper?
Here.
Senator Leak? Senator Osgood? Senator Pasadomo?
Here.
Senator Polsky?
Here.
Senator Trumbull? Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Lisa. Senator Osgood is excused from today's meeting. And just a quick reminder, please silence all electronic devices. And if you wish to speak before the committee on any bill that's before us today, make sure you fill out a speaker's card and give that to one of our members of the sergeant's office, and they can get it to us. And if you choose to select to waive your time for speaking, then your position will be included in the official records of the meeting. Members, we have three bills up today. We will move to tab two first and take up Senate Bill 292 on public records related to appellate court clerks by Senator Roussan. Senator Roussan, good afternoon, sir. You're recognized to explain the bill.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for hearing this bill today. Senate Bill 292 creates a public records exemption for the personal information of appellate court clerks and their families. This committee passed this bill in 2024 and 2025, and I urge your support of the bill again.
Thank you, Senator Roussan. Do we have any questions on the bill? Senators, any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, we have one appearance form, Sean Burnfin from the state court system. He is waving in support, and that is our thank you, and that is our only appearance form. Senators, any debate? Any debate on the bill? President Gates, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All of us are deeply troubled would we learn about any public officer or public employee being threatened or being a victim of violence that that has anything to do with anything, but certainly with their jobs. I'll be a no on this bill because I am in the decided minority on public records exemptions. I've voted for a couple, but very sparingly. I would have hoped that we would be interested in finding people who threaten public officials or public employees and prosecuting them and putting them in jail. I can tell you that my first death threat came in 1997, and I have not had a year free of death threats since. And in fact, there's a woman in jail right now in Pensacola because she's threatened my life and she's threatened my staff. So I believe instead of having exemptions, that we go after the bad people instead of denying the people of Florida the opportunity to know who their public officials are. When I was home over Thanksgiving, there's a gentleman who had been sick, hadn't been able to see me in any of my meeting days, or been around. So he came the night before Thanksgiving, pulled up in my driveway with his in his pickup, and he was there to talk to me about an issue that really got him mad. I'm glad he was able to find me, and I was glad that we were able to talk about the issue, and I would have felt bad if he would have been told, I'm sorry, we can't tell you where your senator is. Someday there will be a bill before this legislature to also exempt from public records disclosure all of our addresses. And I'll vote against that bill, too, if I'm here. But I deeply respect Senator Roussan. He knows that I've been with him on many, many issues over the past and will be in the future. But I'll be a no on this bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, President Gates. Additional debate? Okay, seeing none, Senator Roussan, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your kind comments, President Gates. We have worked together on several pieces of legislation, including when we served on the Constitutional Revision Commission together. I believe that we can do both. We can prosecute vigorously those who violate the law and threaten or harass while we protect those from threats. I ask your favorable vote on this good bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Roussan, having closed on the bill, Lisa, please call the roll for Senate Bill 292.
Senator Berman? Senator DeSigley?
Yes.
Senator Gates? Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Leak? Senator Osgood? Senator Pasadomo?
Yes.
Senator Polsky?
Yes.
Senator Trumbull?
Yes.
Senator Burton? Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
8 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you, Lisa. By your vote, Senate Bill 292 will be reported favorably. Thanks, Senator Russo.
Thank you very much. Thank you, committee.
Senators, at this time, we will turn to tab one and take up CS for Senate Bill 62 on candidate qualification by Senator Arrington. Leader Berman will be presenting the bill for Senator Arrington today. Leader Berman, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, members of the committee. Current law requires that a person seeking to qualify for nomination as a candidate for office must, at the time of subscribing to the oath or affirmation, state in writing certain information about his or her party affiliation, specifically that the person has been registered to their political party or with no party affiliation for 365 days before the beginning of qualifying, preceding the general election for which the person seeks to qualify. Although current law requires candidates to state this information and affirm it in writing, courts have found that there is no mechanism by which the provision can be enforced if the person seeking to qualify did not actually comply with that requirement. In other words, if they misrepresented, there is no mechanism to say that they are misrepresenting their qualifications. So what this bill does, it creates a substantive requirement in addition to the existing requirement that you have to give the sworn party affiliation. And it authorizes a qualified candidate or political party with qualified candidates in the same race to actually bring an action based on a claim that the person seeking to qualify did not comply with this requirement. That is the bill. We did hear this bill last year, and it did go all the way through, I believe, to the Senate floor, and it just did not pass in the House. So that is the bill.
Thank you, Leader Berman, for explaining the bill. Senators, any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing no questions, we have no appearance forms. Any senators wishing to debate on the bill? Okay, seeing no debate. Leader, you recognize to close.
Wave close.
Leader Berman having wave close. Lisa, please call the roll for CS for Senate Bill 62.
Senator Berman?
Yes.
Senator DeSigley?
Yes.
Senator Gates?
Yes.
Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Leak?
Yes.
Senator Osgood? Senator Pasadomo?
Yes.
Senator Polsky?
Yes.
Senator Trumbull? Senator Burton?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
Thanks, Lisa. By your vote, CS for Senate Bill 62 will be reported favorably. We'll now go to our final bill, members. Tab 3, Senate Bill 380 on legal notices by Senator Trumbull. Senator Trumbull, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Senators, this bill provides greater flexibility and cost savings by allowing the option for public notices that are required to be posted by clerks, tax collectors, and municipalities to be on their own website or a private website designated for publishing legal notices. And I do have an amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Trumbull, for explaining the bill. Senators, any questions on the bill? We do have one amendment, but any questions on the bill? Seeing none. Okay, Senator Trumbull, you're recognized to explain the amendment, and that is amendment barcode 968116.
Thanks so much, Mr. Chair. And help with your staff that worked tirelessly over the Thanksgiving holiday, I really appreciate their help. This amendment clarifies current law regarding who is authorized to use online publications for legal notices by including a clear definition for special government agencies. This amendment also expands the approved locations where special governmental agencies may post legal notices to clerks, tax collectors, municipal websites, or their designee. And it also establishes a uniform statewide standard for how long legal notices must remain online, if not otherwise prescribed, in 2 weeks. This amendment.
Thank you for explaining the amendment. Senators, any questions on this amendment? Questions? Okay, seeing no questions, we have two appearance forms, individuals waving, William Snowden waving against the amendment, and Carolyn Nolte waving against the amendment. Any debate on the amendment? Senators wishing to debate on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, Senator Trumbull, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave.
Senator Trumbull having waved, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? By your action, the amendment is adopted. We're now back on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended, senators? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to appearance forms. First, we have Sam Morley, Florida Press Association. And Mr. Morley will be followed by William Snowden. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you, committee members. I appreciate the time. I'll keep my comments to 2 minutes. And as I mentioned to you last time, bear with me regarding the storage unit bill. While as I indicated, while printed newspapers are important, we've long recognized how critical our digital readership is for public notice to citizens. We've worked with legislators over the years to help upgrade Florida's notice system. So as I briefly outlined last time, just to recap, in 2012, legislation passed that required newspapers to run searchable notices on their websites without a paywall, and to upload the notices to the statewide website, which is maintained by FPA at floridapublicnotices.com. Notices placed on that aggregate website, they're searchable. The site contains an archive of all legal notices for 18 months. The site provides text and email notifications of new notices to anyone requesting that information. It allows multiple ways to target the user's text and email notification requests, and all these features are without charge free. So in 2021, additional efforts were made to modernize public notice by adding other newspapers to the mix, namely free newspapers that met certain audience thresholds. And this was done to increase competition with the aim of lowering costs to government. A year later, legislation allowed county websites to run certain government web notices in place of newspapers if the county website met certain standards, including being cheaper and searchable, providing publication dates, mailing notice to those requesting it. And at the time, we felt that allowing these government notices only on county websites was not a good idea because it would result in less notice to citizens. There'd be no central location but a patchwork of government websites. You would lose that push out that newspapers provide to push out these notices, and it would be costly for governments to run the ads. And indeed, since the bill was passed, our members report that such ads are being placed in papers, and we believe they remain the best and most centralized place to run the ads. And we've had recent surveys that show the public by a large majority believes the ads should be placed in newspapers, on their websites, and on floridapublicnotices.com. So turning briefly to the current bill, we hope to work with Senator Trumbull on some compromise language, and we look forward to that. One of our concerns is that the bill and the amendment filed yesterday adds other government websites in addition to county websites to the mix that can run notices. For example, as the clerk of courts and the tax collector's website, they can now carry the ads as well as private websites they designate. So we just simply believe this is going to fragment, it's going to dilute public notice. It's going to cause additional confusion about where these notices can be found by affected entities in the public. And another briefly concern in the bill is apparently foreclosure notice of sale type notices. They can be published solely on the clerk of court's website or their privately designated website as an alternative to newspaper notice. However, particularly where private property is involved, notice should be as broad as possible to ensure that interested parties are aware of the legal action, constructive notice in a locally circulated newspaper is necessary to provide the needed level of transparency in due process. So in closing, Florida's community newspapers have long sought to keep notices in the local newspapers, partly, of course, because it is a revenue issue, especially for the smaller rural newspapers. But more importantly, this is where the public expects them to be. It increases transparency, and at the same time, we've worked with the legislature to keep up with technological advancements and have been willing to increase competition. So thank you for your time. We look forward to the possibility of working with Senator Trumbull on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Morley.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. William Snowden will be followed by Carolyn Nolte. And while Mr. Snowden's making his way up, we have one speaker waving against, Kelly Millett representing Gannett News, waving against. Mr. Snowden, good afternoon.
Hello. My name is William Snowden. I'm the editor and publisher of the Wakulla Sun. It's a small weekly paper in a county just south of here. I have two concerns. One is the accessibility to the Internet. We're semi-rural, rural county. There's large swaths of the county that do not have access to internet. That's one concern. And the other is, to echo some of what Sam Morley said, is the concern that citizens aren't going to know where to go to find. There's the possibility of having all these different websites, and you have to go to each one to look for what is now centralized in the local paper, on our website, and on Florida Public Notices. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snowden. Appreciate you being with us today. Carolyn Nolte. Ms. Nolte. Who will be our final speaker. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chairman and committee members. My name is Carolyn Nolte, and I'm President and CEO of Florida Press Association, and I'm here today on behalf of our 155 newspaper members across our great state of Florida. We are in opposition of Senate Bill 380 as it currently stands. As you know, this bill modifies Florida's legal notice publication requirements by extending the definition of governmental agency to include additional local government entities such as the clerk of court and the tax collector. It allows governmental agencies to publish legally required advertisements and public notices on their own publicly accessible websites or the county websites if doing so is less expensive than publishing in the newspaper. This legislation updates numerous existing statutes to incorporate the new website publication option across various contexts, including judicial sales, educational unit notices, retirement notice, code enforcement, board communications, community development, district establishment, school district budget hearings, and other official notifications. This bill states that it aims to modernize how local governments communicate important public information by recognizing the increasing role of online platforms in disseminating official notices. It fails to provide guidelines, proposed standards, or stipulations that set a minimum threshold for reaching Floridians. As you've heard before in previous testimonies, 86% of Floridians consume local news, either printed or digitally. And additionally, FloridaPublicNotices.com engages Floridians with an additional 1 million views, resulting in 2 million events annually. If passed, this bill will further fragment and dilute important governmental communication to Florida residents. In the 2025 Mason-Dixon poll, when asked the question, state and local governments should or should not be required to regularly publish notice to the public through a printed online newspaper and FloridaPublicNotices.com, 92% said they should. Similarly, 71% said they would be unlikely to seek out public notices on governmental websites. In closing, public notices are just that, to notify the public. Florida Press Association and its 155 members would like to work with Senator Trumbull on this bill to include compromise language that would address these concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you being with us today. Thank you. Senators, that concludes our appearance forms. Any debate on the bill? Any debate? President Gates, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding of the bill, and perhaps Senator Trumbull can disabuse me of any misunderstanding in his close, but my understanding of the bill is that now, under current law, governmental entities can publish on a county website, but that the effect of this bill would be that individual constitutional officers who have their own websites can use their websites to publish their notices instead of paying the county to publish on the county website. My understanding of the bill, Senator Trumbull, is that that's the effect of the bill. If I'm wrong, please disabuse me. The reason I mention that is because I think the whole notion of having public notices on websites instead of in newspapers that also have websites is a ship that already sailed. I'm sorry it sailed. I opposed it, but I was in the decided minority. And I once voted against one of Senator Trumbull's bill, and I've I've worn the humiliation of that ever since. So I'm very, you know, I'm don't want to do it again. So my understanding is not that this allows public notices to be on websites instead of in newspapers. That ship sailed. This is allowing constitutional officers and others to publish on their own websites or on private websites that they designate instead of paying the county. And the county sometimes charges, as I understand it, some considerable fees for that to occur. So the county may find a reduction in revenue because these constitutional officers are not publishing on the county website but on their own. But I say turnabout is fair play. The argument was it'll cost less to publish on the county website. Well, now if the if the property appraiser can publish on his own website or a website of his choosing for even less money, turnabout is fair play, and the county will have some reduction in revenue perhaps. But I don't believe that this is a bill about allowing public notices to be placed on websites other than those operated by newspapers. I think that ship sailed. But correct me if I'm wrong, Senator Trumbull.
Thank you, President Gates. Additional debate? Okay, seeing none. Senator Trumbull, you recognize the close.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And President Gates, you are completely correct. You alluded to it, but current law says that any constitutional officer who has a notice that needs to go out has to post on a county website. In some cases, those range from $130, seems reasonable, to $3,000, does not seem reasonable. So if given the opportunity to be less expensive for the taxpayer, we are allowing in this bill the ability for constitutional officers to be able to utilize their own website in saving a tremendous amount of money. I will say also there was a speaker that spoke specifically to the rural communities. And in current law, there are strong protections for residents in rural and small counties. And those counties and cities have to have public hearings and confirmations that residents have adequate internet or broadband access before switching to digital-only notices. I think that's also something that's important. All this bill did was expand that to other constitutional officers. So to President Gates's point, we are not having a policy shift as it relates to newspapers versus digital for these notices. We are just saying that constitutional officers have the ability to post them on their own websites to be able to save taxpayers money. Thank you. We appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Trumbull, having closed on the bill, Lisa, please call the roll for CS for SB 380.
Senator Berman?
Yes.
Senator DeSigley?
Yes.
Senator Gates?
Yes.
Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Leak?
Yes.
Senator Osgood? Senator Pasadomo?
Yes.
Senator Polsky?
Yes.
Senator Trumbull?
Yes.
Senator Burton?
Yes.
Chair Yarborough?
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
Thanks, Lisa. By your vote, CS for Senate Bill 380 will be reported favorably. Before we move to the next part, I did want to – Senator Trumbull mentioned this earlier, but I do want to echo that we have an amazing staff in the Judiciary Suite. Tom Cibula and our very capable staff do an amazing job, so thank you for pointing that out. Senator Trumbull, we appreciate them very much and thank them for their hard work to help us with what we do, so thank you. Does any senator wish to be recorded as voting on bills before the committee today? Senator Lake, you're recognized.
Thank you. I'd like to be recorded as voting affirmative on tab 2.
Without objection, we will show the motion adopted. Any others? Okay, seeing none, and also seeing no further business before the committee, Senator DeSigley moves we adjourn. Without objection, we are now adjourned. Show the motion adopted. We're